How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. Where to begin? Let's start with the most impressive performance of the night. That goes to Charles Oliveira. Now, of the night bonuses, fight of the night, for example, but the most impressive, single impressive performance of the night came from Charles Oliveira, and this came on the heels of Bo Nickel's contest. You must understand, Bo looked at his opponent. I know that this is probably Bo's trainers and coaches got influenced, but decided that the opponent, Paul Craig, does his best work from that, and therefore we're not going to take him there. All right, great. But if you juxtapose that with what Charles Oliveira did, Charles looked within himself. Where do I like to have the fight at? What do I do best? And that is where he went out and took and put the fight. For anyone to believe that Charles Oliveira was going to take down Michael Chandler would have been a long shot. In fact, I was very convinced that Michael Chandler was the one in need to take down Charles Oliveira, control him, do a good job with the hips, do a good job with the posture, not be afraid to break away, stand all the way up. A great way to deal with jiu-jitsu is to go down there and not stay there overly long. If you were to go back to 1993, one thing Hoist Gracie showed us, and Hoist wasn't taking on black belts in jiu-jitsu. They weren't fellow experts within the sport. But when those guys would get on top of Hoist, even not being experts, Hoist needed time. He needed time to wear them down, to absorb their sweat, to set them up, let them punch themselves out before he outsmarted him. The reason I bring that to you is that really is a key component to jiu-jitsu. One of the things that hurts jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu might be the most effective art for mixed martial arts if it was one long fight. When you break it up into rounds and you go under a 10-9 must system, that brings that a little bit more into question. And I only bring that to you. It's a great way to deal with a jiu-jitsu guy is to go ahead and take him down. Go ahead and go in the guard. Do a little bit of damage. Don't ever settle in. And when you find yourself starting to settle in, maybe because you landed your punches, maybe you're a little bit fatigued, break away, stand up, reset, and do that again. I think that would have been a very good thing for Chandler to do. Something like that, rinse and repeat, or a variation thereof. But he didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance because he was on bottom. Charles Oliveira went for 4 takedowns tonight. Now, none of us predicted that Charles would go for any takedowns, and that largely is what made him work. We didn't expect it, guys. It was very clear that Chandler didn't expect it. But Charles likes to take people down. He likes to grapple. He likes to go to the ground. So that was his game plan. He believed in himself, and he went out and he tried. Now, it might have failed, but that's not something we got tested with tonight. We didn't get tested with that because it wasn't as though Charles went for 12 takedowns and got 4. He went for 4 and he got 4. He was batting 1,000. And it was just a very interesting thing to see, particularly on the heels of Bo Nickel, the greatest wrestler under contract currently, the greatest wrestler on the card tonight, not use any wrestling. And when we look at that Chandler-Oliveira fight, it's a real important one to stare at because Chandler did look rusty. That wasn't the best version of Chandler. As a matter of fact, Chandler has fought this guy before. Chandler has beaten this guy before. Chandler has almost stopped this guy before. When I say beaten him, I'm talking about to the punch, in scrambles, certain scenarios, points of a round. There was nothing like that tonight. And the one time that Michael Chandler did find himself on top, he almost finished the fight. He postured. He used the fence. He used those elbows, both to frame, to get his distance, but also for devastation. And it was one of these things where Michael didn't believe in himself. Oh, and by the way, he hadn't been in there in a meaningful amount of time. One of the stats they put out, Chandler hadn't been in there 2 years. That's one way to look at it. But a great stat that I loved is, and I got to credit Andrew with this. He's the one that came up with this, but Alex Pereira has fought 7 times since Chandler's last fight. And ring rust is very real for anybody in the world not named Dominic Cruz. So it was a perfect storm for Chandler to be caught off guard. It was a perfect storm where Chandler still needs to set up what is next for him. And Charles Oliveira could be a title fight. The problem with that is the very reason that Charles did not call for it. Charles does not want to fight Islam. And I don't give Charles a hard time. I meant this to praise Charles, but he does not want to fight Islam. But he might not need to fight Islam. So Tsarukyan is a very hard fight for Islam. We know that. They've already fought once. And Tsarukyan Islam is next. Going to be in California in January. And I tell you that just because if Charles is to move into a number one type position, it's not a guarantee that he's fighting with Islam. And if Charles waits for that kind of fight, if he does draw Tsarukyan as he would like to, that means Islam got upset and we might just rematch Tsarukyan and Islam. So I don't quite know where Charles goes, but the same isn't true for Chandler. I don't know where Chandler goes, but I do know where he doesn't go. And that will be in the conversations for a world title fight ever again. And that just comes with the age of 37, nothing else. So Michael Chandler sets up his next opponent, which is very clearly Conor McGregor. There will be no other option for Conor McGregor after the promo that Chandler cut. With his heart broken, he understood, I still have a job to do, which is to make sure I have a job to do tomorrow. And it was awesome. Chandler might be my favorite fighter. And that didn't get hurt at all tonight. There was other ways he could have played that with Charles. But as far as the heart, the grit, being out for 2 years, standing your ground, fighting for 25 minutes, fighting out of positions that you didn't think you'd be in. I was very satisfied in that regard with Chandler, but I do believe stronger than ever in the conviction that if Conor McGregor returns, it should be against Michael Chandler. But as far as the fighter of the night, the one single, the best performance, outcome is a separate thing. And I know fighters, all they care about is the outcome, but there's more to it. And in sport, you got to worry about the performance. You got to really focus on that. And that was almost a perfect performance by Charles Oliveira. I caught myself on the campus of ESPN. I was in the actual headquarters of the Worldwide Leader. I'm in the hallway and I'm about to walk in. I'm with Gilbert Melendez, breaking down and deciding what I'm going to say about John Jones. John had just fought OSP. It was the worst John had ever looked by a lot. It was the slowest and the sluggish. He got tired. He didn't force himself. It was the worst performance that John had ever had. And he won every second of it. And he won every element of it. Better hands, better feet, better wrestling. Better knowledge, better athleticism. He won every single part of a world title fight over an accurate and correct number one contender in OSP, underperforming. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to go on there and I'm going to explain this to the world and tell them that he was chosen by God. God chose him. He put a special, he smiled and shined upon him. And I have to catch myself with Gilbert and realize that is not a professional analysis. And I swear to goodness, when I watch John tonight, who's been on a layoff, John's been out 3.5 years. The layoff affected Michael Chandler, who's the same age as John Jones. Oh, by the way, Chandler was out half the time. It affected Stipe, who, by the way, is a couple of years older than John, but not in real years, right? I mean, lawsuits, hard drugs, and cage fighting will age you more than the average person. Stipe and Jones are same age. And it did affect Stipe, but it didn't affect John. Nothing ever affects John. Could you imagine how good John Jones would be had he come at this from a different approach, that of discipline, that of lifestyle outside of the ring? Now, that's a double-edged sword, and some guys get so focused they lose it. Sometimes you stay in the game and you stay longer. You're Dennis Rodman. You're John Jones sometimes. But can we at least agree that if we apply the rules of logic, a focused and disciplined John Jones, could you imagine what he would be right now? There's no way he fought his best tonight. Again, logically, that's not possible. Changing weight classes, focusing more on your weight than your craft, having to break down all new guys. John's a heavyweight champion of the world. Stipe Miocic is a two-time heavyweight champion of the world. John is going in to defend a championship. Stipe successfully defended it more times than any other man. I mean, do you understand where the resumes, where it leans towards Stipe? And we did have a belief. And when you're looking at John Jones, there's multiple things to look for. And it's not just the outcome. I mean, that guy goes out, he wins every fight. So you're looking for different things. Can he out-wrestle this guy? Can he outbox this guy? Going into the fight with Stipe, we did believe, and I'm talking, we is the locker room, the boys, did believe that Stipe was stronger in one area, which was the pure Western boxing. The kicks, okay, we knew would be a problem. And let me explain why. Is John Jones a great kicker? Sure. But Stipe, unlike any other opponent, has never dealt with those kicks. The greatest kickboxer Stipe has ever faced in his career, by a factor of double, is Alistair Overeem. The most decorated and accomplished, with the hands and the feet together, is Alistair Overeem. But Reem is going to smash you. He's going to bring a really big left hand and a really big right hand, and he's going to kick you really hard with an outside kick that might go to your body, very unlikely to come to your head, and is probably going to go to your leg. John Jones is going to teep you. John Jones is going to dig his big toe right into your gut. John Jones, if he wants to, will kick you low just to distract you for the pleasure of it. He'll hit you with a flip kick. He'll hit you with a spinning kick. And as you saw, he'll even hit you with a spinning kick to the liver where he can't even see you. He can't even see the target. He turns his back, right? That's how spinning kicks work. He turns his back. Stipe brings his leg up. He brings his elbow down. Did you guys notice that? Let's say this is the leg and this is the elbow. There's about 3 inches that weren't protected. John's foot diameter is about 3 inches. John, while backwards, not seeing his opponent, sends his foot through the 3-inch gap and sinks Stipe's liver. And that is a paralyzing blow. And I'm using that term. Oscar De La Hoya had used it. He went down to Bernard Hopkins that was stopped with a shot to the body, but it will paralyze you. That liver, that thing flips upside down. You're in all sorts of trouble. And Stipe wasn't done fighting. He wanted to fight. He goes down. I mean, it crumbled him. But he was still trying to look up. He was trying to sell himself, get up. Like, there was no quit in Stipe. It was a very good Stipe. I think I tell you that because I don't like the idea that, oh, Father Time's undefeated. Thanks for that. But that's not what happened to Stipe tonight. Stipe did not lose to Father Time. He didn't lose to a layoff. He lost to John Jones. That's what beat Stipe tonight. That was a very good Stipe, but he had to deal with tools that he's never had to deal with. There has always been a perception that bigger is better. That's always been a perception. But throughout the history of boxing, wrestling, and now MMA, we've always seen that the smaller guy, the guy from one weight class below you, is harder to beat. Guys going for champ status that failed were the guys that came from higher weights down. TJ Dillashaw comes to mind. He's coming down. Guys that achieve champ status are the guys from a lower weight that move up. And John Jones is not a heavyweight. John Jones is fighting at heavyweight. So the tools that John possesses are just unlike anything Stipe's had to deal with. So we can go into training camp and he can bring in some athletic guys and he can have them throw that at him. And training camp can turn from 8 weeks into 52 weeks. It doesn't change the fact that the only time Stipe's ever worked on the defense of those kinds of techniques in a best case scenario would have been training camp. He never saw those thrown at him. And every time John threw a kick tonight, Stipe was a sitting duck. Every time Stipe just defended. Okay, let me take as much sting off this while I'm absorbing it as I can. Stipe did not counter. Stipe did not attempt to wrestle at all. I'm not being hard on Stipe, by the way. I'm telling you what John can do to guys. I can't remember the last time somebody tried to take John Jones down. I'll throw myself into it. I never got around to it. John was busy coming after me, but I never tried to take him down. Daniel Cormier wanted him down, but didn't really try. OSP never tried. Alexander Gustafsson didn't really try. It wasn't part of Dominic Reyes's approach. Thiago Silva. I mean, you go right on through the list. Surreal God and Al Stipe, who happens to have great takedowns. He didn't even try to take him down. Maybe that's a clue. Maybe that's something that opponents should look at. I notice the word that I'm using, try to take him down. The threat of a takedown is more effective and more consequential in MMA than getting the takedown. The threat of it, because now that's all of a sudden what will change your opponent's striking. The reason we will see great strikers come to MMA and get knocked out fast by non-strikers is because the threat of the takedown. They never actually do it. They make the guy worry. John Jones is not worried at all. Rashad didn't try to take him down. I'm bringing up good wrestlers from John's past. And maybe that's a clue. Maybe that's something we should really look at. It was hard to watch tonight juxtapose Pereira being in there and Pereira being able to deal with that. It was hard to do. You may have a different opinion. My partners at DraftKings have already come out with a line, and John is a 6-1 favorite over Pereira. Does that surprise you? Because it does me. That seems a little much. Meanwhile, my partners at DraftKings came out with a line with Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall is a favorite over John Jones. Does that surprise you? And if Tom is going to beat John, I would ask you, how? Do you believe he can out-wrestle him? I asked Tom that question tonight. And I said, would you at least offer the threat of the takedown? Are you watching John? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you thinking I'll at least test the waters of a takedown? And Aspinall did say yes. He said, yes, I saw everything. I thought I could do everything to him. And Aspinall was a gentleman. He said, I could be wrong. I would have a plan. My plan is very different than Stipe's. I believe my plan will work. I could be wrong. It's interesting. How good that guy is very difficult to explain. And if you think you're going to convince me that was a downed Stipe, how does that not wash with a downed John? Whatever Stipe went through, John went through it, plus injury. John was the lesser prepared of the two tonight, if we're just using basic logic. I don't think any of you, no matter how big of a fan you are, could tell me the gym that John trained at. In fact, I know you can't. You don't know the name of the gym. Last thing we heard about John in a gym was John got kicked out of his gym. And we never fully heard where he ended up. And I only bring that to you just by an example. I mean, if you think Stipe went through some stuff coming into this fight to explain the performance, it was actually a very good performance. John is that much better. And that's the reality. And does he draw into Aspinall? Yeah, I think so. John started to publicly negotiate. He said, I just want to be paid for the fight. And it's always a mistake when it's done publicly. Just, it's always a mistake. And John's check for that, just based on the contract he has now, which has no limit. Whatever pay-per-view is sold is a ching, 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 ching. I believe that's the biggest fight that our industry has. It's certainly the biggest heavyweight fight that our industry has ever had. And the ceiling for John's payout isn't capped. I believe that if John went into this fight with Tom, exactly the contract he has now, I believe he would receive the biggest payout in UFC history. We'd only know. That would be up to you guys. But that's how I feel about it. And I do feel that you're witnessing, again, what we forgot, but we did know to be true, which is John Jones is the greatest talent this sport has. With Bo. I'm not happy with him. And I'm not upset with him. You have a young man in Bo. And there's one thing that I have to always remind myself. As great as he's done and as impressive as his resume is, you have a boy. You have a young man who just got out of college. Who's, I believe, 27, 28. He's a very young guy. And he's also young in this sport. He's only had 6 fights. Now, I have to keep that in mind, because to watch Bo concede to Paul Craig was infuriating to me. I'm not outcome-based. It could have raised Paul Craig's hand tonight. If Paul Craig would have landed two more punches any round, he would have won that round. He was four punches away from winning that fight. He was six punches away from sweeping that fight all three rounds. That is how little happened. And Bo looked good. He looked composed. He did look like a guy who has become a very good kickboxer in the gym. That's true. But the discussion of Bo going into a fast-track title shot, Bo and Cosmet Chimaev being side by side, and their names have been married from day one. They're separated in the rankings, but their names are married in headlines. Those days are done. For now, they're put on hold. The conversation that nobody has called out Bo Nickel, that will change. Come Monday, people will be calling for him. The idea that Bo is the boogeyman in the closet that Dana and Hunter just cannot find opponents for because there is so much respect put on Bo's name mixed with fear. Like, respect and fear is a very fine line. I'm not completely sure of the difference. You want respect, be feared. Just because you're feared doesn't mean you'll be respected. But I think that you understand the point that I'm attempting to make. That is gone. They will find opponents for Bo very quickly. And it doesn't need to be that way. My problem with it and my gripe is you have a four-time world champion. Now, please don't leave me a correction in the comments section. An NCAA championship is a world championship. If the NFL title is a world title, even though it's a national organization, the fact that no other country contests it makes it a world championship. Bo won three NCAA championships. That is a style that is only contested in America, thus making you the American champion makes you the world champion. Plus, he won the university games. Four-time world champion in wrestling doesn't do one damn bit of wrestling because somebody got a hold of him. One of his trainers or his training partner sat him down and said, "You're not ready to go to the ground with this guy." Well, how the F would we know? How in the F would we know that now? George St. Pierre, the greatest to have ever done this, has never looked at an opponent, decided what the opponent's good at, and that is what he's going to base his performance around. George looks at himself and thinks, what are the three things I do best, and in what order specifically? Those are the three things that I'm going to go to, and I'm only going to step two if step one doesn't work, and three I'm never going to see unless one and two have failed. You do not look at your opponent's game to decide your strategy. That is nothing that Bo has ever done. He didn't show Gabe Dean that respect. He didn't show Miles Martin that respect. He did not show David Taylor that respect. And he refuses to take down a four-time world champion, refuses to use one bit of wrestling against a guy that's never had a wrestling match. That is because somebody in his trusted inner circle. You get credit for listening to your coaches. Bo is very coachable. He got coaches, he got trainers, they grabbed a hold of him, and here's what they told him. I have never seen that out of the American top team, ever. I have never seen them acquiesce to an opponent, ever. And it didn't cost him tonight. He had three rounds, and he won all three rounds. But many thought he lost the first. They're wrong, he didn't lose the first. But many thought he did. And had he been punched two more times, a kick would count, he would have lost the first. Had he had two good shots against him, two more than he had in the second, he would have lost the second. He would have lost the fight. And there was no reason for it to be that close. Oh, by the way, you didn't bring your greatest skill. Now, if you get scared and something stays in the back and you're just not a competitor, that's not ever happened to Bo. I watched Bo beat a world champion for the first time. He was 15 years old. He was a boy. I watched him beat the world champion twice in one day, as a matter of fact. But he brought his skills with him. He didn't go out there and say, I'm not going to gut wrench the guy. I'm not going to crush the flag, but I'm not going to leg lace the guy. He brought everything that he knows and took it to a world champion. I watched him do it. Northwestern University, as a matter of fact. Cadet World Trials. But yet tonight at Madison Square Garden, under the lights, in front of an equally biggest crowd as he's ever fought on. He had equally big a crowd at 300. He didn't bring his greatest tools. Because somebody told him the other guy You are putting the other guy in his favorite position.
F the other guy and F his favorite position. Do what you do.
Ever start your day feeling like you're dragging your feet before you even step out of bed? Most cream powders taste like lawn clippings and barely give you the boost that you need. But not Morning Man Greens. Morning Man Greens is the ultimate morning fuel. It's packed with 95 milligrams of clean caffeine from green tea and coffee bean extracts, plus over 75 vitamins, superfoods, probiotics, and digestive enzymes to power you up and to improve gut health. And if caffeine isn't your style, don't worry. It's available in decaf too, so you can choose how you start your day, unlike those other green powders. Morning Man Greens actually tastes amazing. It's got rave reviews from thousands of satisfied customers who have ditched their old routines for this game changer. I personally felt the difference right away, and I'm talking about on my first try. It stopped me from having sluggish starts, no awful aftertaste, and no energy crashes. It's just pure sustained energy all day long. I want to tell you about something, because this is only going to be for a limited time. Morning Man Greens is offering my listeners an exclusive 20% discount. Just head over to morningman.com/chael. Use the promo code CHAEL20 at checkout. That's morningman.com/chael. When you get to checkout, make sure you use the code CHAEL20. That's going to get me a little bit of credit, and that's going to get you a 20% savings. I want you to start dominating your mornings with Morning Man Greens.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Not against the idea of John Jones getting more money. I think when he lays out his negotiation publicly, he's got a lot of problems. Like, to get more money, you got to be respected. I mean, it's as simple as that. There's not any raise anywhere, any position anywhere along the way. It comes with respect. Now, you can get that a few different ways. And what John has done and what John is capable of doing would qualify him. But you want to be a little careful laying out your reasons why. If you got a hard and fast number and you're not coming off it, you're a principled man, let's just say, don't lay out your reasons why. As soon as you start laying out reasons, you get somebody like Chael to come along and pick them apart. I saw this, the first of the public negotiations was done by John Jones yesterday against the UFC on UFC cameras, right? Like the first part of the Hear Me platform was done at their expense on their cameras with their host. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just sharing with you. It can get weird. So John instantly goes to Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, a business that he's not in, an organization he's not with, and he couldn't name it, by the way. I mean, not only is he not in it, he couldn't say for you what it was. And he states rumored numbers. And he couldn't even tell you who was rumored to have signed the check. Now, I'm not against John. He's not the first to say this. Tito used to talk like that. Tito had a belt of 205 pounds and big draw in boxing at the time. And Tito was the biggest draw in our sport, for sure. Biggest draw in boxing at that time was Roy Jones Jr. And Tito was talking about, he was talking about what Roy was being paid. And therefore, he should be paid. You're kind of looking around and going, I can't begin to be dumb enough to understand how what somebody else is getting paid in a different industry has to do with what you're getting paid. Like, I can't be dumb enough to do that. If you're suggesting that you go box Roy Jones and that you are good enough to beat Roy Jones or even just to compete with him and sell a whole bunch of tickets in the process, yeah, we're probably going to have that conversation about you getting a check like Roy Jones. The foggiest idea what it had to do. I have a foggiest idea what doing MMA against Ken Shamrock in the Ultimate Fighting Championship had anything to do with competing for the WBC against Roy Jones. I still don't. I mean, this argument was made over 20 years ago. I still don't know what it means. And the thing about it that it becomes interesting, and it comes back to the respect factor, is you can ask the UFC to bet against themselves, or you can go bet on yourself. Like the contract that John has, a beautiful contract. John's champion of the world, for goodness sakes, in the heavyweight class, headlining a sold out Madison Square Garden. Like, he deserves a beautiful check, and he's getting one. I'm very confident in telling you, if John Jones was to fight Aspinall, I believe that to be the biggest fight that our industry has right now. I also believe that to be the biggest fight in the history of the heavyweight division. So if that fight were to happen right now under the contract that is already signed and agreed to, and big celebrations all around when it was done, John would receive the biggest payout in UFC history. And if that isn't literal, like he's still not going to quite touch Conor numbers, right? I mean, it's not literally, but it'd be really close. And there's no end on that. That is what's so amazing about it. To give away pay-per-view points, this is not done in any other industry anywhere. Nobody gives a 1099 employee a piece of the business without them writing a check. If you want a piece of the business, you got to buy in. There's ways you can do that, right? If you missed the first round of funding, you can go and get in right now publicly. Just for example, but you're going to have to write a check. You're going to have to take risks. You're going to have to write a check and then get in on the profits. Only this industry and only Dana White, out of pure graciousness, gives the guys what's known as participation. So for every pay-per-view sold, your check goes up. And that doesn't cap. That doesn't cap at $2 million. There is no cap on it. So you must understand what John is asking for. He's asking for a great big check, and he gets to be on the come line. He gets to come with the house. If all of you decide you want to see that fight and you all tune in, he gets that too. So you're kind of looking around going, wait a minute. What are we doing here? Is there a number that you'd agree to? Would $10 million do it? The biggest check we've ever written, a bigger check than we even wrote Brock Lesnar. Would $10 million do it? But then you're out. We will go. We will promote this. We will attempt to recoup for our investors. And the answer would be no. No, I want to guarantee up front, and I want it on the come line. And you run into multiple problems with this. And one thing that Dana's done, and by the way, they're going to have a talk. There's a talk here. I don't suggest there's not. I just suggest there shouldn't be. That talk was done. That contract is done. It should be honored. The problem you run into, and one of the reasons that very few promoters in history can do sustainable business, which in business, you guys ever go there? First thing you want to sit down and figure out, they won't tell you this in your business courses. Okay. First thing you want to do that you figure out is a formula and a recipe that works that you can then duplicate over and over again. That's called sustainability. If you were to go in and human nature says, I can't do something tonight for X amount and tomorrow for less. So if the argument is to come in that this is the biggest fight, this is the biggest heavyweight fight of all time, that is accounted for within the participation portion of the contract. That is why there is absolutely no cap. There is no ceiling on what you can earn. Okay. But you got to understand this concept, because let's say you come in and go, hey, this is the biggest fight. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to give you a new deal. When this fight is over, that athlete's going to look at it and go, okay, my next fight isn't as big of a fight. There's no way they're going to say, I'm going to go do the same thing that I just did. You're paying me the same or more. And everybody in the UFC from the beginning of the UFC has fit into that box. Each time you do something successfully, the next time you do it, you will be paid the same or more. It only goes up. It never goes down. So if your argument is this is such a big fight and therefore I should be paid X. Okay. But you don't have two big fights out there. You don't have three and four. You lack the capability to go out and create those. Michael Chandler did it last night, by example. He even did it on the loss. He created an excitement for what could be next. Just by example, Israel Adesanya, master of doing this. Sean O'Malley, master of doing this. Colby Covington, master of doing this. John's not equipped with that. So if I come to the table to do a deal that's against the deal that I already did, right? Like if I come and see it your way, John, the other thing I got to admit to myself and everybody else is that I got it wrong in the first place. If you should be having more this time, then I should have got that right the last time. So to give you more means you got it wrong, and it means I did it wrong, or it means we've both done a really good job. It means we created something bigger than we even envisioned at the time. We should be shaking hands and telling each other, great job. But instead of doing that, we're going to bring in Mike Tyson and Jake Paul and rumored numbers. I mean, I don't say this to make John sound stupid. He can handle that on his own. For John to bring in a business that is not his, he literally, make him a deal right now. John, tell me who signed that mythical check, of which your numbers may or may not be true. Just tell me who signed it. You're telling about this business that's so much better than mine. Tell me who did it. I'd like to talk to that man. Can't do that. Doesn't know who signed the check. Doesn't know a damn thing about the business. And I'm only bringing it to you that if you ever dream of being a fighter, and I don't mean that you go out there and you fight, like you dream of being a fighter and you dream, hey, when I'm done with that, I'll have this freedom. I'll be out on the beach. I'll have my fishing rod. And to have that dream come true in our industry, there's only one way to do it. You must have participation at some point in your career. Nobody will make money to where they can leave the sport and choose what they do with their time for their rest of time. Nobody. Unless they had points. And John has been fighting on points. Well, he was the youngest guy to ever do it. Right? Youngest champion ever. As soon as you become champion, you are now on points. Not the night you became champion. As soon as you win the championship, now it activates. So defend. As soon as you're defending a belt. And I'm just sharing for you. Like, John's in a really beautiful spot. For John to want more, he's not doing anything wrong. But he's not being reasonable. I mean, we have seen guys out of the company. Like, if you think for a second that you could walk away from Tom Aspinall and the industry gets hurt, you're of course wrong. I mean, it's to the point where John is demanding more money and Tom's just begging for the fight. They don't have that fight. So I'm just saying, like, if you think that you could walk away from and you could hurt the industry, you're just wrong. And if you think that you will harm the organization and or the business, that's what leverage is, that you have something that if you don't give, you harm them. If you think that you have something that can hurt them and you're an underdog, you're wrong. And the line already came out. Tom is the favorite. If legacy and the way you're talked about is what matters to you, you're not going to get over with that whole I couldn't come to terms thing. When it was come to terms with the first opponent in the history of my career that the odds makers don't think I can beat, it's like, no, that's the one that you have to go out and win. You have the talk after that. But I'm not getting in John's wheelhouse too much. Like his private business and his the way he goes out and makes his money, he's very skilled. It's just a matter of trying to be reasonable with him and say, John, you are not entitled to pay-per-view points. No business in the world gives points away. None. They sell them to shareholders. You are going to be given them, and they are endless. And by the way, your work is the same. You're not a media mogul out there hound to start with. You're not going to be in this one either. You're going to do the same thing that you always do. But we are going to go do our job extra. We are going to invest extra. We are going to bring in more revenues. And when we do all of that, we hand you a portion. It's really an incredible thing. I don't actually come to you attempting to scold John Jones. I come here. I want John to be happy, believe it or not. I want John to be able to look at it and say, man, I'm really respected. These guys really look after me. Nobody has ever fought 4 points more times than me. I'm the best at doing it. But I didn't earn that. I didn't work harder, sacrifice more. I got the DNA. I'm just the guy that can go out and do it. Everybody on the card that didn't make a fraction what I made did the same thing I did. And it's a very hard mentality to have. It really is. And a capitalist doesn't have to have that. Not asking John to accept it and not attempt to renegotiate. I'm just trying to get him to understand what he has negotiated. He's bringing in mythical numbers that he doesn't know, signed by an unnamed person in a completely different industry over to his, where he is the highest paid because of you. You decide you want to see him. Generally, you want to see him lose. That is the entire reason the Tom Aspinall fight would be so big. People are tuning in to see John get beat. But to go out and renegotiate and act as though we've got 2 and 3 and 4 more of these, no, we don't. You got one. Let's go get that check. Then let's keep the pay-per-view. Let's keep the bonus. Let's keep the structure in place so that you are constantly incentivized. It's really quite a perfect world. And I would like for John to enjoy it. I think most of us would be very jealous of that. I think most of us would be very envious. There was 14 fights on the card last night. There was 28 athletes. Only 2 got participation. And John was one of them. I think that's a very exciting thing. And I think when you talk about respect and or disrespect, there's another side where you have got to respect the industry. You've got to respect the players. You've got to respect the arguments that you're putting out, of which are mythical numbers signed by a person who you do not even begin to know what their name is. And you're the highest paid guy. You got to close out the night. You got all the cheers. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And if you just want to talk about respect, he has definitely got it. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. Thank you, as always, for the support. I can't tell you how much it means to me and the whole crew at Bad Guy Inc. As always, I'm going to have so much going on in the world of combat sports to get to on Friday. Guys, until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.